Good morning, everybody. It's sort of, the hush goes over the place for a while we're waiting for the countdown to take place. But that's okay. I hope you're all well and have had a good week. Welcome to you all, and welcome to those of you who are watching online, or if you're watching sometime later in the week, welcome. Who's been looking at the study across this last week from last Sunday? Some, yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Here's something that might shock you about me. I came to a realization a long time ago, and I still think it to be so. I do not love God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. I don't think I have the capacity to do it. The question for me, though, is, do I love God? Safer question. And my answer to that question is, yes, I do. And I love his church, and his people, and everything that the God life has to offer us. And though in our journeys we never do it 100% and never will, we live with a God who is forever faithful to us. We're going to sing that right now. So would you please stand and join us?
Sing praise. forever and ever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Pardon me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love. Bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise on eagle's wings. Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love, bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings, and I will rise on eagle's wings.
Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for drawing each one of us here this morning. Thank you that you call us, that you wait for us to answer. And Lord, now we do declare that we are waiting for you to speak to us. Open our hearts, our minds, our spirits, that we may hear what you wish to say to each of us this morning. Lord, we know we come with baggage. We know we come not being able to have given 100%. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness again, continuing onward, that we may strive to do better. Lord, you do lift us. When we come to you, you lift us on eagle's wings. Help us to know how to relax into your embrace. How to hear your voice. Bless us this morning, we will pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Now about 12 months ago, I taught us a song called May Our Lives. And this song this morning is for our offering. May our lives be laid down before Christ. You might remember it from 12 months ago. It's pretty simple to sing. Just stay seated for a while, but I might get you to stand partway through.
I lay down my life this day to follow Jesus' holy way.
Clap along if you'd like to.
Lord, to you my life I give. Jesus, please show me how to live. May my life bring you glory. May my life tell your story. Steadfast in my Lord and King. Lord, to you
able to.
May our lives bring you glory. May our lives tell your story. Steadfast in our Lord and King. Lord, to you our lives we bring. Jesus our Lord, we proclaim you the living word, we offer you our sacrifice, our lives laid down in Jesus Christ, we offer you our sacrifice. Our lives laid down in Jesus Christ. We lay down our lives this day to follow Jesus' holy way. Lord, to you our lives we give. Jesus, please show us how to live.
Lord, so much do we need you to show us how to live. Life has enormous challenges, Lord, as you undoubtedly knew when you walked this planet. But help us to live for you, Lord, and so we bring ourselves as an offering to you. Lay our lives down before you. And at this moment, Lord, we give back to you the offerings that Bob has brought from those who have given from their hearts. And we include in that, Lord, those who've given electronically. And pray, Lord, that you would use our offerings to your glory and for the greater good of your kingdom. We give you praise and thanks and glory, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take your seats.
The first reading for this morning is Mark chapter 12, verse 38 to 44, warning against the teachers of the law. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." The widow's offering. Jesus sat down opposite a place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." The second reading is from Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 23, the rich and the kingdom of God. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, kids, Tiana, Sam, you guys want to come down the front? I'm going to do my best at a very short and sharp children's talk to make sense of that reading, those readings. So today, good to see you both. Now, what can you tell me about this? You can hold that. What is it?
I'll hold that one.
Okay, so Tiana, so what is this? What am I playing with? $50, and what have you got over here? How many dollars? Five. All right, so which is more? 50. So, okay, that's good. Now, I'll take them back. It's not that I don't trust you. But it's like, so Jesus was talking about money, wasn't he? I'm not sure if you were listening. He said, a lady had $5, and someone has had 50, lots of 50s. and he put lots of 50s in, and the woman just gave one 5. And Jesus said the 5 was worth more than the 50. How can that work? It was a poor lady. Yes, you too. I thought I'd give you... Here's another way of explaining this. Here is one lolly. Now, if I have one lolly and I have a bag of lollies and you ask for a lolly and I've got this bag, I can say, yeah, sure, I'll give you one of my lollies because I've got lots. But if I only got one lolly and you say, can I have a lolly, Dave? Do you think it's going to cost me more to give you this one or give you one from here? One from where? What do you reckon is going to be harder for me to give? If I've got lots of these or I've only got one of these? I've only got one frog, but I've got lots of snakes. But I like my frog. Okay, thank God Rob's preaching today. So he's going to solve all the answers. That's a really good benefit. But so really, I guess we're talking about God's not necessarily interested in everything, all the big stuff. Sometimes we can give some really small stuff that is significant. So that's what we're going to think about. I'll have to ask, can I give a lolly to these guys? Well, okay, so I'll give you a lolly in a minute. I just wanted to make sure that you understood that. And I just have to eat the frog. I love frogs. Just take one of these. Have one of those. Pass them around. Okay, so notice this. While the kids are eating the snakes, in your notice sheet, please remember that we have congregational meeting coming up on the 28th of November. And before then, we want to see if anybody would like to join the Vine's leadership team, the church council. You can either come on as an elder, if you have a pastoral skill set and a passion in that way, or maybe you're someone who has some administrative skills, some other aspects that you'd like to bring to the life of the church from a leadership perspective, then that's also something that's really important. Now, please have a chat to me during the week. Give me a ring, send me an email, have a chat to Colleen or any other elders or church councillors. Those on church council, could you please stand up just so we can have a look at who you might talk to this week if you want to have a look at. So there's 5 of them here today, a couple are missing. But if you'd like to have a chat to say, well, what's involved? Could God be stirring me to be involved? Yeah. So again, it's we're collectively as a team working to do this. So again, also a reminder about the upcoming Christmas market, December the 11th. And the other thing with our communion today, with our paper bags, I'll try and get you to put them somewhere so we can avoid the paper rustle until last minute. And what I'll do is also remove a couple of chairs when we come down, so you'll have to get ready to just bump a chair across so we can move and not knock out the camera. All right, I think that's enough for me, and I think it's back over to you, Ben, to sing us a song. And I better rescue these snakes before the kids eat them all. Good job. Thanks, guys. Oh, get in there. You can have a snake if you like. You
can't sing and chew on a snake at the same time.
Snake, come on. Gang it.
This is a song in preparation for communion. It's kind of similar in nature to the one we sang earlier, May Our Lives, Just As I Am, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. that blind, sight riches, healing all the mind. Give me all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, just as I am of that free love, the breadth, length, depth, and height to prove, he for a season, then above, O Lamb of God, I
so as our time of communion comes, and one of the beautiful things about communion is it's an opportunity to reset. And I think worship on a Sunday is an opportunity to reset at any time. So I don't know what sort of week you've had, what sort of month, what sort of year. The opportunity we have today is to come along and reset. Jesus, when he was gathered with his disciples in that last room, and shared with them a special meal, where, as we were talking about last month, really changed the way in which they understood what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, to be a servant. And so as Jesus washed their feet, he confronted them with the truth of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And Paul said that he'd learned from the early followers, from those disciples who were in that room. And the repetition of that meal was something Christians did time and time again to reinforce that connection with Jesus. So the words of institution, as Paul wrote down, he said this: "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, gave thanks and broke bread. And in the breaking of the bread, said, 'This is my body which is broken for you.' And then after supper, took the cup with its rich red wine and said, 'This blood is my blood that is shed for you.' And he said, 'Every time you gather together, do this in remembrance of me, because there I will be in your midst.'" So as Christians, that's what we've been doing for 2,000 years. And we again do that today, as we open our lives to be filled and refreshed with God's love and Spirit. There's some repetition that we only have when we come to communion, and the next few slides will pick up some of these words. And so if you'd like to respond in the bold: "The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks.
Here and now God waits.
To break into our experience.
Change our minds. Change our lives. Change our life. To make us see the world and the whole of life in a new way. To open our eyes to the new things your love is doing in our lives and the lives of those around us. When we go to the next slide, we remember that praying for others is important. And we'll actually have a separate time of intercession today a bit later. So normally when we pray for others, we're reminded of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is a prayer that covers everything, really. So when in doubt, prayer. And I'm going to invite you to share together the Lord's Prayer. So let's pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. One of the things I really love about the affirmation of communion is that we come not because we've got faith this big, not because we've done everything so well this week, because we're smart, good-looking, even though we might be. The invitation is to come because you are loved. Full stop. And as David said right at the beginning, it's not about the all, it's just about the love. Our response can be that small. God loves us, and the invitation for us to come is to be reconnected and refilled with that today. Restored, forgiven, made whole. And this simple gesture of bread and grape juice can make a difference. So, Lord, we know that when we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. You embraced us and gathered us. And, lo, you set a table for us so that we may once again receive and be reminded of this eternal love that knows no end. So, Lord, we gather on this day and we come with humble hearts and ask that you would continue to fill our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. And we invite you to come forward. What we're going to do is, we will come forward. So if you can put your paper bag somewhere safe. And we probably need a little bit of music while the people do a shuffle. Okay, ready, set, move your paper bags now. All right. Thank you. So how about you, have you got your bread? We're going to have the bread now and then we'll come forward and we will receive the wine together. Well, this is the body of Christ in the paper bag. And I'm sure we'll figure out a better system. The advantage of the paper bag is it's recyclable. That's why I don't go with plastic. Okay. There were many distractions when Jesus was gathered in the Last Supper. So, okay, so this is the body of Christ broken for us. Let us eat and remember the love of God that goes beyond all knowing. Let us eat and remember. Let us come forward again and as we do, receive the wine, glass of grape juice, and go back into your seat and... actually, we could probably drink it on the way through. So when you come forward, grab the grape juice, drink it, and then keep going. So we'll come from left and right, front few pews first. Thank you.
Rich and free.
For you took my hand and walked to Calvary. On the cross you took my place, sin undone by death and grace. Your amazing love gave life eternally. Sun, moon, and stars, and all creation cannot tell. Angelic hosts can never understand the joy that we who are redeemed, who take the Savior's hand, the joy we have in your amazing love. Some sun, moon, and stars, and all creation cannot tell. Angelic hosts can never understand the joy that we who are redeemed, who take the Savior's hand, the joy we have in your amazing love, amazing love, amazing love.
There's a response I'd like you to share on the overhead projector as well. The cross, the bread, the pain, the joy, the gospel, the love, the light, the darkness. May the Holy Spirit continue to fill you with love. Thanks, Rob. Oh, intercession.
Leon.
Thanks, Leon.
Yes.
Good morning. This morning, the 7th of November, through the open door, which have declared a special day for this day. Today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. It's an initiative of Open Door. If anybody wants to link up through Open Door, please see me afterwards and I will give you a copy of this. Let us pray. Let us pray for the persecuted church and the Australian church to stand alongside those who share our faith but not our freedom. The church is strengthened, governments shift and conflicts cease, relationships are reconciled and healing is found. There is power in your prayers to change the world. Let us give thanks for the safe return of Chloe, who is now reunited with her family, and for those who are looking for her. Let us pray for healing of those who are sick. in both body and in mind, and for those who are in our hearts. Let us pray for world leaders, leaders of our country, our state, and leaders of our church. Father, we give thanks for doctors, nurses, scientists, frontline workers. Lord, we pray for leaders of the Uniting Church and our church family here at the Vines. Let us pray for school chaplains and for the work they do in our schools. Let us just pray silently for those in our hearts and for those who we have not openly prayed for. As we approach Christmas, let us remember those who are doing it tough, those who are sick or bereaved. Bless them, Lord. And Lord, with all those things that we think about, we ask your blessing, and in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.
Can I just move this a little bit? I should explain why I'm working from here, because last time I was using the lectern, and when it came to move a slide, I wasn't sure what slide was on, so I stepped forward and almost stepped straight off the edge of the platform. So I'm just taking no chances today, thanks. Right, here we go. The sermon is called The Widow's Mite. It could be subtitled The Cost of Our Faith. But it's interesting because thinking about it could also, you've heard last week about the great commandment, and this could be the great challenge. And often during my working life, I was asked to work for other departments, usually on a temporary basis. And I had to get financial clearance to do that. I was often told that one of the problems that they were having, what my bosses were facing, was that they were having trouble being able to work out how much they were actually going to charge for me. It's a bit dehumanizing, really. Ah, there we go. The costing of Robert Close is a standard unit plus overtime, direct labour. See what I mean? It's all a bit dehumanising. Did this ever happen to any of you? I feel it probably you would do. But I have to smile as I think of myself as a standard unit anyway, plus overtime. It did, however, set me thinking about my life in other ways. You know, how I was perceived in my life, whether that was at work, whether it was at home, whether that was as a father, a grandfather, a husband, a colleague, a school governor, a local preacher, a Christian. What was my value? And did I give value for money? Was I a time and a halfer, or was I a double timer? For most of these, I can give you a rough figure. I can do some sort of a calculation, and if you want, if you're really desperate, you can have the budget me. Or you can have the economy me. And there's even the deluxe model. Hey, dear. I must say, though, that I feel as though I'm a value for money man. I try not to short change. But when I started to look at one item, however, that was my Christian life, I got quite a shock. I tried to take a dispassionate look and evaluate this in financial terms, what I put into it. Other examples sprang to mind, such as my prayer life and my Bible study, How much time did I give to these? Also, what is my Christian faith like in general? How do I serve the Lord? What did I give in terms of time and money and effort and trying? What did they mean in real terms? Did they actually hurt me? Did they demand a sacrifice from me? How is my life when I compare it to the yardstick of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And you'll not be surprised to learn that really I don't compare very well at all. But when I looked at the readings for this morning from the New Testament, I found that there was massive food for thought. Well, sometimes there is. There we go. All things come to them who wait. Mark tells the story of a widow, of the widow's mite. It talks of the financial cost of people giving to the temple treasury. And Jesus noted that many people gave their money. The point he was making was that many people were giving out of their wealth and making great gestures as they did it, great flourishes. But the point was, and the bottom line was, that what they gave they could well afford. It was the merest fraction of their wealth and represented very little in those terms. As a gesture of adoration, it meant little. It didn't hurt them at all. And I wish I'd thought about bringing a bag of sweets as well, or that might have helped. By contrast, the widow gave out of her poverty. And what she gave might well have been her last. And Jesus seems to have been impressed by this. And he pointed this out to the disciples. Can you imagine the devotion the widow had to do this? How much she valued her faith. I suppose it's all about commitment. What something is worth to us and what we are prepared to give to it in return. And you would think that someone who was as close to poverty as that widow would have more than enough on her plate just to survive without giving what seemed to be their all. Surely that would have only made life that much more difficult, wouldn't it? But maybe she had more of a thought on life after death. Now this might well have been the point of the thinking about that. Maybe, I don't know, we give too much thought of what today is, and not enough about what is to come. But it is, however, hard not just to live. In the world that we've got, it's so hard not just to live for today in many respects, isn't it? And at many points in his gospel, Mark also has Jesus discussing the true cost of discipleship, of belonging, and in turn being one with God. He's talking about the true cost of entry to the kingdom of God. And do you remember the story of the rich young man who asked Jesus what he must do to enter the kingdom of God and inherit eternal life? And here we go. Again. There we go. Jesus said to the man, "You know the commandments, all of them. Do not murder, love your neighbor as yourself. You must keep them all." And the young man says that he's kept all the commandments since he was a boy. Then Jesus tells him to go away and sell everything that he possesses. And the young man looks sad and walked away because it seems he had great wealth. And it seems, said Jesus, that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He does look a bit perplexed and a bit sad, doesn't he? I found the two readings this morning, particularly that second one, for me, it seemed to be very confronting and very tough. Because on face value, it seems that the true cost of discipleship and belonging is to give your all, to give up everything. I think the disciples did that. Looking at these would perhaps give us some idea what our faith is worth to us and how we would rate ourselves. Perhaps it's unreal for us to do this. And it has been suggested that perhaps Jesus said this maybe tongue-in-cheek as a test for the young man. But is Jesus simply saying that the more that we have takes us away from true homage of God? And if we think again about the widow and her small contribution to the temple, to her religion, then the contribution was everything. Her sacrifice was complete. The rich man couldn't give his all, could he? There we go. Another contrast with the sacrifices of the widow is the attitude of the leaders of the temple, or the teachers, the priests, and the way they treated the widows. They were the anointed ones, but Jesus tells us that these people were hypocrites because they seemed in reality to contribute very little. They, in fact, devour the houses of widows, and such men will be punished by God. And when I looked at those, I thought, I wouldn't like to trust myself to their tender, loving care and mercy. So what then would be the cost of our faith? What is to be the value of our faith when you take into consideration all the practicalities of life, of living in a world where we need to remain solvent in order to survive? What is it that we believe that would make us want to give our all as we live out our faith? Not just in the church, but as we go about in the larger world. What is it that we believe that would make us want to give our all, not just financially, but in time and effort, commitment, and importantly, the Christian example we show? Those things that are very much precious to us and define who we are as Christians. I can just give you my perspective. To me, it seems it's all about the perfect role model we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. The example that he gave, the love that flowed from him, and the compassion he showed for all people as he lived out the great commandment. And he lived out this loving his neighbor as himself. He gave everything, including sacrificing his life for us. And you know, it fills me with awe. It makes me feel as though that is how I should be. At least how I should try to be. I fail, of course. But I do try. He gave everything for me and for you. He did it for love of all people and to take on the sins of the world so that he could be the bridge to God for us. And we can still bask in that same love today God. Now, isn't that good news? So how do you view your faith? And I ask this because not all people view faith in God and Christ and religion, particularly organized religion, in the same way. We've all heard of Karl Marx. He said that religion is the opiate of the people. He meant by this that that was merely a way of controlling people in order to make them behave themselves. But I don't believe that. And I'll state again that I believe in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the sacrifice and the example he showed us in his life and his ministry, his death and his resurrection. The sacrifice he made for us. He gave his life so that we all could have eternal life and to belong in the next life. So how do I cuss myself out against this? How do you cuss yourselves out against that example? Well, happily, because we live in a Christian country, we'll probably not be asked to literally sacrifice our lives, as others in time gone by have done. You know, just think of the disciples themselves, St. Paul, thousands of Christian martyrs, and of course, many others down to the century. I'm told that the last words of the Maid of Orleans, Joan of Arc, as the flames consumed her, she just held herself up and she said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." So try convincing people like her and those thousands of others that their faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ was mainly some sort of a control mechanism. Come on. However, in what we give to our religion, the church, the outside world, etc., in terms of service and time and energy, money and commitment to the cause, how do we cost ourselves? And believe you me, I do not set out to judge anyone in all of this because I'm not good enough to do that. But I merely place the thought in your minds because our religious life in these days can be so cozy. So cozy that it can almost become benign. And we can drift through it without any great thought about cost to us, unless it's what we put in a collection box or plate on a Sunday morning. And I began by trying to work out the cost of myself in terms of my input into my religious life. So then I've invited you to think in terms of costing out your own lives. Because it's inside us all that the true import of our faith lies. It's inside us all where the care of our faith lies. And I would go as far as to say it's inside us all that the future of our faith lies. And it's inside us all that the audit, the cost of our faith can be made. And God speaks to us as individuals in all the various aspects of our lives, wherever that takes us, as we try to live out that faith in service to the risen Lord Jesus Christ and to God. And he reaches us in prayer so powerfully. We have his word passed down through us in the scriptures. We have the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to inspire and to guide us. Isn't that wonderful? So God gave his only son as the ultimate sacrifice that we could all have eternal life. Jesus paid the full cost. Likewise, the widow gave her all, which for her was probably the full cost. And we too can give our all despite the cost. But I'm not setting out to say it's so easy. It isn't. It's hard to achieve. All I'm asking really is that we try doing in audit. And in the end, if we do our best and we are satisfied that we are giving value for money to our faith, and then I know that we will be in the end, I know that we will be loved, we'll be forgiven, we'll be restored to pick ourselves up and try again. We'll be challenged, but I hope unbowed by it all. So what, at the end of what seems to be quite a tough sort of a message, the fact that we can be loved, forgiven, restored, I think that's the wonderful message of hope that can come out of this for all of us. Thank you. Amen.
One of the challenges of wearing a microphone on one's ear is trying to untangle the mask. I think Rob said the value in our faith is to serve. Did I get that right, Rob? Loose translation, at least. We're going to finish the service with a song about serving. It's the servant song, which you all know. So would you please stand?
Pilgrims on a journey, render
Thanks, Rob. Again, a reminder, if you want to do some further reflection on the words that Rob has preached, in your email there should be a copy of the Bible study or the sermon study we're doing for this month. So, you came to church with your hands empty. Christ filled them for you so that this week you may empty them in your sharing and caring and love for others. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.